If you guys ever want to look for it, it's a great book, The Seven Most Powerful Prayers You Can Do. And there is just so much Holy Spirit in there. It's just amazing to me. And Adam Haag is just a good writer. So I was trying to figure out where and how the church started, because if we look at all the churches out there today, my gosh, you know, it was always point A to point B. We went from being saved to going home with Jesus, okay? But it seems somehow everybody found a different way to get to that end. And they changed doctrine. They changed what's written in the Bible. And as far as I can see and what I feel, the Bible is 100%. It doesn't get changed. It doesn't get reinterpreted. So I look back, and back in 1550, Martin Luther, and believe it or not, that's also right about the same time where the Amish started their thing. Of course, that didn't work out well. But they came up with the five solas of Reformation. Sola was just the name, so there's sola scripture, sola fide, sola gratia, sola Christo, and sola de gloria. So sola scripture is God's word alone maintains that the Bible is the highest source of authority in a Christian's life, the final court of appeal. Of course, the Bible does say pray for your leaders at the same time, but they should be listening and doing exactly what the Bible says. Then you have sola fide. Faith alone affirms that justification. Being made right with God comes only through your faith in Jesus. Sola grata, grace alone, says sinners are saved as an unearned gift of God's grace, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. And that's from Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. Sola Christo, Christ alone emphasizes the exclusivity of Jesus' role in salvation. No one goes to the Father except through Jesus. And that's John 14, 6. And solo de gloria, to the glory of God alone, says that the purpose of creation, salvation, and everything, including our goals as Christian, is the glory of God, that God may be in all. So I started thinking about all of that, and then I had to come up with a couple of songs just to demonstrate what I feel. If we're going to warmly welcome new people in this church, and we're going to, because I see it, I feel it, and I believe the Spirit's working on it, I would just like to, I don't know, just make sure we're all on the same page with every single thing, so that when they walk through the door, they don't bounce from pew to pew getting different versions. Not that that would happen here, but in general, I wish more churches would do that and keep everything the same as is written in the Bible, okay? There are some variances. I don't agree with them. However, I agree. Whoever walks through that door, we cannot be the ones to judge whoever walks through that door, because you don't know why. They may be here for the first time. They may have never even seen a church. Okay, and we don't want to be the Christian that scares them away. We want them in our building, okay? If that means grabbing them and putting your arms around them and holding them for a few minutes and not even saying a word, that says a lot about what the Spirit is doing inside of you, okay? Very important. I think that the four habits of strength, there's four habits I found to strengthen your faith. Study the Bible. There's nothing more important than studying God's word, okay? You need to spend time on your own, though, not with somebody all the time. One of the things I also felt was, if you're going to read the Bible, and you're going to be alone, and you're going to be outside or in a separate room, don't read it until you ask the Holy Spirit to read it to you. There's a difference, because the Holy Spirit will read to you things that you cannot even understand, okay? There'll be a brand new meaning. And all that happens with that. Testimonies. What about testimonies? Do we do anything with testimonies? I mean, life, we're all walking testimonies. So, I mean, that should be the place to start, okay? We've all got a story to tell. You think we should be doing more with testimonies? I mean, I just, how do you share with one another without telling the good and the bad? Not concerned about, you know, what it is, but Does that help knit a congregation to help introduce new people into the building? That they feel safe, that they know that you are no different in a lot of ways than they are. We're all born of God. We're all born of Jesus to get out of here. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. I mean, you got the map, you got the book, you got the answers. I think testimonies are probably underrated because people can that don't understand the Bible, new followers, if they hear what you have to say, it becomes tangible. They get to understand it. They get to feel it. It's something inside, you know, because when you're talking about it, it's not just you talking. The Spirit's in you. And that Spirit's telling you right now, say it, because somebody needs to hear it. And that's important. What do you do when what do you have that God hasn't given you? That's another thing. I just think that people forget that. God has given us everything. Have we earned something? Only because of God. If it wasn't for him, we don't have it. You know, they always say you came with nothing and you're leaving with nothing. However, I like to add to the end, instead of saying I came in with nothing, I'm leaving with salvation. And I always feel that was just a different way to look at it. It's not nothing. You gained a lot when you leave, but you're going home to see the room that you have with your name on it. And that's a beautiful thing to have in your mind all the time. I mean, when you look outside even, sometimes in the backyard, my wife and I will sit and just look at, I don't know, the birds and we got gophers. We got a family of 8 turkeys going through. I mean, we bought a zoo. Okay. And, but when you look at it, it's amazing how everything has a purpose and they know exactly what to do as they're walking. They're looking at each other. And the funny thing is all these different commodities, the different animals, they're not scared of each other, you know, but most humans, we get scared real quick, but you got a turkey walking past a deer. You got a deer walking past the gopher. You got a gopher walking past the foxes we got running around. I mean, it's just amazing to see how well God intertwined our life. And I think that's an example set for all of us too, you know? So when I talked about those two songs, Praise You in the Storm, Mark Hall is a youth pastor in Georgia and his band is Casting Crowns. They were able to hit it off very good. But the different thing about Mark is that no matter where he is, no matter what he does, okay, he is back in his home church Sunday morning every single week. No exceptions. He was offered megabucks to do a California Easter service. He said, nope. I swore to God that if he helped me make money for the church with my voice and our band, I would be home every Sunday for my children. And his children were Sunday school kids. And to me, that's amazing. So the song was written for a girl named Erin. She was diagnosed with cancer and it's subsided. And she had this big thing. I have to go see Mark Hall. I got to see Casting Crowns. Of course, he got a hold of it. And she got to meet him, and it was all in her glory. She was just coming out of the chemo. Her hair was just starting to grow back. And amazing enough, it just made her whole life. Sadly, she got cancer again. And Mark called her and said, I'm going to write a song for you. That was the song. And the day she passed away in her mom's arms, she's told her mom, I see Jesus. So it was just, it's a good song. Sorry. I still get deep with these things. I like them. I just, when you hear stuff like that, it's like you hear people seeing God, you know, and here's a young kid who's got a whole life in front of her, but she was just happy to see Jesus and move on. It was an escape. And, on top of that, he won 2 Dove Awards, which are the awards for Christian music, and sent the mother one in name of Erin. So it just goes to show you that not everybody who's doing music, and a lot of it doesn't happen in Christian music, but they share. They want not to be the legacy. They really want you to remember Jesus, not the song. Okay? And my favorite, forgiveness. Oh, I don't really have a way to play the video here. I wish I could have done it. Obviously, forgiving is a tough thing to do. We don't like doing it. We put it aside. And I have learned that if you don't forgive, I'm the guy who's suffering. Because they're walking away and saying, who cares? But all I do is think about what I didn't do. Okay? That's not what Jesus wants me to do. Okay? When he hung on that cross, he didn't pick a group or say this, nothing. It was every single body was forgiven. And I think that's what we all have to do as people united in Jesus Christ, is to forgive everybody for everything. Now, I'm not telling you to go to somebody that maybe hurt you and you don't know what to do with that. That doesn't stop you from forgiving them, telling them, and saying nothing, and just going along, say thank you, and walk away. You don't have to speak to everybody you don't like, but you still address them as they're alive, okay? Because eventually, they're going to start wondering, why are they like that? How come that happens? Because you're a believer, because you're wearing Jesus, you see it, the Spirit's in you. So, this lady called up Matthew West, and her daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And crazy enough, the woman not only forgave the guy who killed her daughter, she also got his prison term shortened. Okay? And she was actively involved in his life after that, because she realized that he didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to go out and kill somebody. Was it wrong? Absolutely. But does that mean we don't forgive somebody? And she did that. Anybody remember a time in recent that just happened again? Somebody was forgiven? Charlie Kirk's wife. Okay. She stood at the altar and said, in tears, I forgive him for killing my husband. Okay. And you know that hurt. But that tells me a little about her faith and what her belief is and what Charlie did and how they got together. Do we agree with everything he says? I don't know. I don't usually worry about it. I like to hear what people have to say. Sometimes if I don't agree, it just might mean that I don't know it and I have to go and learn it on my own. So that's where forgiveness came from. And I think that forgiveness is the key to having an even happier life than we have now. You got to let it go. Like a bird, just let it fly away. Okay, it's only going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt anybody else. Amazing Grace. Oh boy, how wonderful a song. I have officiated 3 funerals, and every time I go to a funeral, it's Psalm 23 and Amazing Grace. And I get it, because that's usually where you hear it. But if you take apart the song, it's really meant to be taken apart every single day of your life. Okay? John Wesley wrote it. He wasn't dead. He was giving credit to the fact that how can you give me this opportunity to be free and to get to know Jesus? I mean, so sometimes we can utilize songs every day. Even Psalm 23, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Don't we kind of do that every day? Isn't somebody always looking to, you know, define us? Especially if you're a Christian and you're in the wrong place, they're going to make it feel bad for you, you know? But you shouldn't fear anything, because his rod and staff will definitely comfort you, okay? Then you find out when you get to the end, all is good. I don't have to wait to understand these songs or sing them on the day that I pass away, or have it sung to me when I don't hear it. Because you're already where you're going to be, you know. I can't even, sometimes taking apart a song verse by verse, which I started to do more, presents a different opportunity when trying to clearly understand what it might be. Much like a sermon might mean something different to one person one day in the same place, Another sermon might be, that same sermon might mean something different to somebody else sitting there. But you don't know. It's not up to me. It's not up to the person giving the message. It's got to be God. And he's working through a person, a human. And he's putting those tentacles out to try and make you feel good about what you do. You came to me today about small groups and youth. And I think that there is nothing greater than small groups. There is so much to learn. I ran small groups in Delaware. We had 78 of them. And I had one, and I used to follow four or five just to coach them when I had new people. And I tell you what, that's how you keep a church small from day one. And the other amazing thing was when you have 10 people come together that don't know each other, the relationships at the end of those 13 weeks is just totally amazing. Am I not right? You see people you never saw, much like Emmaus, Craig, when you go to Walk to Emmaus. Anybody ever heard about Walk to Emmaus? It's a weekend retreat at Camp Pocahontas, Maryland. You lose your cell phone, you lose your calendar, and you lose your clocks. You don't get to see anything. And all you do is walk in the Spirit of God, and you hear lots of testimony. And I don't want to say everything because I blow it for somebody in case somebody wants to go, but the feeling you get when you come out of there is, wow. And I'll just give you one example of what happened to me, and it was Walk 59 in October of 2015. I'm getting a little older. We went to a Saturday night thing. I'm not going to say what, but we were all sitting down, and people were there celebrating with us, and everybody left. And there was a baritone singer in the back while we were meditating. We were supposed to sit there and ask Jesus what we're going to do and how can you help us, and you sit there by yourself. Two things happened to me that night that I've never forgotten. One is there was another person singing baritone back there behind the wall. The only thing was there was nothing behind the wall. Okay? Amazing. Number two, when I humbled myself, I felt an arm around me. I was sitting by myself. Okay? So there's a lot I missed, and I should have been more proactive in what I was doing after that, because that opportunity, the agape love that you get from that is immeasurable, okay? When you walk out of there, you fully and completely understand what it's like to have the Holy Spirit in you. It's just amazing. By the first night, you're kind of nervous and shaky. The second night, you're like, okay. The third night, you don't even look for your phone. There's nothing. You don't even care. What hurt most was going home Sunday, because this was a powerful time with people you didn't know. And they separate the men from the women. And there's a good reason for that, because women see things differently and have different feelings of the way they handle things. And I tell you what, it's amazing. My brother-in-law Craig still goes there and helps out. And it's an amazing thing. So just a little bit about what I was trying to talk about today was we need to trust God more and we got to worry less. I know worry is pretty easy because I worried when she fell down in the shower the other day. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do now? And I thought it was broken. I mean, then I had to go away for a couple minutes and go in there and pray. You know, it's going to be okay. She's alive. You know, she's not, you know, completely ruined. I mean, she thinks she is, but that's okay. But, you know, don't worry. Pray. Prayer is the answer to everything. It's the only thing that we have to communicate to the Father and the Son. It's private time alone, looking up or kneeling down, whatever you prefer, asking him, what should I do? I'm telling you, he will tell you what to do. Okay? It's like even in a Bible, reading a verse. If it hits you and you have to stop and read it again, that's the Holy Spirit trying to tell you something. It's making you read it again. There's a reason for it. Okay? It may be a bridge to something going on in your life. My mom, I don't know how she put up with me all these years, but now she's having some heart work done on July 22nd, and the only reason she's got to have that done is because she has to have another hernia operation. Scares me. Got to look up and say, hey, don't take her. Yeah, she's got more to do. She's still got more words to browbeat me with, and there's still a person I need to hug more often. Same thing with my pop. I'm sure he's worried too, but These are the things in life that make us stronger. They make us more involved with faith. And reading the Bible, I can't express enough before you do that. Just ask the Holy Spirit to read it to you. The way he reads it, way different than the way we read it. I try to tell people, if you're going to read the book like a novel, you're going to fail. It's not a novel. It's a living, breathing testimony to this world, to the Father, and then to the Son. I used to joke with my Jewish friend because, you know, they have the Exodus and they put the blood of the lamb on the doors, you know, so they wouldn't have to, they wouldn't be hurt by the thing of death. And I say, you know, it's not that far off because the blood of our lamb was Jesus and he shed his blood for us. And I always tell them after that, you know what? We're going through the blood of the lamb in Revelation. So that blood is good. We're not as different as people think, you know. And although he's not a staunch Hebrew, he'll listen. Funny enough, God had him. He's an amazing entertainer. He's been voted 4 times on Long Island as the best entertainer and piano player. And where does this poor Jewish guy go? His father wrote Hebrew temple music, and it's just very popular. He's in a Christian church on Saturday playing Christian songs. You don't think God don't work? Because after that, he kind of didn't convert, but he's got a Christmas tree up and he's got Hanukkah up. So I don't know. I think he's torn, but nothing I'm going to make him do. But it's just amazing to see how he works. There's just so much out there. It's like today I'm looking through the doors and I'm seeing these trees blow. I'm looking at the people in here, the smiles, the life, the love. I mean, this is amazing. It's just really, truly amazing. All right, I've chewed your ear off enough. I just want to, I know that based on what's here, I'm sure we've all been saved, have we not? Have we all given our life to God? We've all given our life to Jesus? Have we, everybody here? Because if not, I'm willing to do it right here. You don't have to be a pastor or anybody special. The most special thing is the person who believes in what's going on. So, all right, that's good to see. I'm really happy because there's no other way home. There isn't. And it's a beautiful way home, too, I got to tell you. All right, I'll end this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you today for allowing me to somehow get out what I feel inside of me. It's not always easy, Lord, but I know with the Spirit, you brought me some comfort in there. And Lord, to be with all these people today in this church, it's a beautiful thing. I can't feel happier than where I'm standing right now, trying to just enjoy and absorb the energy I feel from them. Lord, I ask you to bless this day, encourage us, keep us in the Spirit. Let us enjoy the food that you gifted us outside. And Lord, I thank you for every single thing you do for everybody in your Son's great name. Amen.